Okay. So as noted, I will be taking over for Chris for today's meeting. We'll get started by calling the Environmental Services Advisory Committee to order at 4:02 p.m. We'll start with roll call. Susanna Shippers, absent, I believe. Doug Jennings.
Here.
Brett Ariza.
Here.
Ryan Thomas.
Here.
Chris Yarder is absent. Hallie Hughes.
Here.
Margo Garcia.
Here.
And Trevor Ledbetter here. We'll move to item two, which is the chairperson's report and the annual reports. Chris didn't share anything additional beyond annual report, did she, Brittany?
No. So the last report I sent out to all members, and then I did get some comments from Fred, which I did share with her. I'm sorry I didn't send it to everybody, but
Well,
I know there's a couple more comments from Margot as well.
yeah, I was just going to say that I had some editing I wanted to do. There was some repetition, some inconsistency in terms of, like, we call him Carlos, we call him director, we call him all kinds of nice names, nice names. And so I just thought for professionalism, we should shape that up a bit. And a few places Fred probably caught it also, where it says will happen in January, and it's already happened. So we need to change a few tenses, and a little bit of repetition that could be cut. So I don't know. Do you want, my suggestion was that maybe Fred and I and Brittany could set aside a half hour to go through this and whip it into shape, and that you would just pass it. In general concept, subject to the editing that the two of us do, or three of us do.
It's just general grammar changes, right?
Yeah, pretty much. And a little bit of, as I say, cutting a few sentences which are repetitious from something earlier, and perhaps a wee bit of rearranging, but
And that's
nothing
very,
substantive.
yeah, and that's very similar to what we've done in the past, where the members will approve the content, which with grammatical changes and edits.
Brad, are you up to that?
When did you want to do this?
Oh, in the next day or two?
I can't do it tomorrow and I can't do it Saturday.
That's right. Do you have your big thing coming up? I was just trying to think when that was.
Yeah.
It's fine afterwards.
Okay, maybe let me check about Monday.
Sure. I think so. I don't have my calendar right with me, but Monday sounds fine. We can correspond offline to set the date.
Okay.
Perfect. So then, Brittany, are we looking to make a vote on the annual report as it stands, minus some of those grammatical and simple things?
Yeah, I feel like that would probably be the best way to move forward.
Okay. I'm not going to pretend like I remember the proper wording for simplified Robert's rules for getting a vote going. So I will defer to somebody else on that.
Just say there a motion has been proposed to accept the report with edits and all right, with edits.
Okay, so a motion has been proposed to accept the ESAC annual report with edits. Do I have a second?
Second.
All right, all in favor say aye.
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 Anyone opposed? All righty, so motion passes. Anything else on chairperson's report? I don't think so. So we can move on to item three, which is the director's report and Carlos.
Good afternoon. First item is the Los Reales plan area development facility type 4 permit amendment. So just want to give you a quick update on that. As it relates to the plan area development process, We had our public hearing, last public hearing, all the process, I believe a couple of weeks ago. And we had no one from the public attend. So that means that we either is a very good plan or there are no major concerns. So the next step is really just to formalize all the submittal documents to Plan and Development Services, the findings and the results of the public hearing, the feedback and the input, and modify any of the plans, which they're not, because again, there was no public feedback or input that needed to be amended. So then is the next step would be, it would be a scheduled hearing with the plan and examiner. And so that's probably gonna be scheduled in the next 2 to 3 months. And then after that, it would be essentially an item that will be considered by the mayor and council. So I'm hoping that either late this summer, early fall, we would be in front of the council really trying to get that plan area development fully amended. So one of the things that I will do is really just forward to you separately after the meeting, a copy of the final document, final draft document, so that way you have in front of you what has been proposed, what's in front of us really in terms of really getting it approved. So that's the status of that project. The other one is we are working with one of our on-call consultants, which is SES Engineers, really to start developing the scope of work for what we call a Type 4 permit. And so the Type 4 permit includes various tasks that need to be considered. So with the PAD being amended, we also need to amend our regulatory permit. And so we need to really go back into the drawing board, look at how the facility was permitted before, and really make any modifications that we are trying to make as part of the PAD. So one of the key elements of that is we need to meet with the Arizona Department of Environmental Quality, really to inform them or really what our thought process is, what the modifications are, and really get from them really some feedback as it relates to what is the best way really to make the submittal moving forward. We will prepare a design concept plan. We would provide all the, again, backup documentations, how we believe, how we think, or how we conceptually thinking about the overall landfill master plan. We're going to do a new aerial topographic map that really shows really the current contouring of the landfill, well, how much space do we project to have, and also really where the with the amendments where the capacity will essentially, the new cells will be, and the additional capacity that will be attained by those cells. We also get a look at, obviously from a close proximity to the airport, all the regulatory requirements we need to meet there and make sure that there's no issues there. We will have to review the groundwater sampling plan. And ultimately, as part of that facility plan, we need to amend our operating plan and also make some modifications to the closure plan, how the landfill will be closed, and also the post-closure plan. So it's not that we're really are starting from scratch, but certainly there's new cells that are being proposed, that are being looked at, that those things need to be put in a document so that folks can, we can follow those, and the regulators also can follow those. So we're hoping to get that essentially started, get that going in the next month or so, so that we can get ahead of the game in conjunction with the PAD approval. So you may say, well, we may be pulling the trigger sooner than later, but we're trying to gain some ground in terms of ahead of the game, dealing with, talking to DEQ, getting some feedback, getting some information. So that's kind of where we are as it relates to that permit amendment in conjunction with the plan area development. Okay.
Question. How much is this going to cost?
So the PAD amendment, it's roughly around $100,000. The actual engineering, we're projecting roughly about $400,000. So overall, close to anywhere between $500,000 to $600,000.
And that includes all the work going forward with ADEQ as well?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And that's on the budget?
It's on the budget really part because we're not going to pay for all of it in this fiscal year. Part of it will be distributed following year. So yeah, that's we're making provisions within our budget really to absorb that as part of our capital process.
It's part of the capital, okay.
And does the ADEQ have the last final say so to sign off on it? Or how does that work?
Yes, yeah, so ultimately we have yeah, they're the ultimate authority that would sign off on the permit, and they may have some comments, some questions, some concerns. Our goal is really to get those addressed, and hopefully we can come to some sort of terms following the regulations, but also ensuring that they're not too egregious on their ask. And so that's what we would be ensuring that we follow the regulations, but not anything too extreme beyond that.
I'm imagining a lot of that is done, is kind of you keep them up to speed with your permit application so there's no surprises when they get it and it's just a matter of signing off on
Right, and so that's the intent of the pre-application meeting is really giving them all the story of the landfill, that giving them interest. That's before the permit, all the documents are submitted. So that way, we put in context what we're looking for, the methods and manners in terms of moving forward, the reason why we're doing it. So we provide all the background. So when we make the submittal, there's that context already there. And obviously, those documents are that's where they're guide their decision and guide their regulatory input. And so, hopefully, working with them on a regular basis, as we go through the process, we can get that permit modified or amended.
Gotcha. Thank you.
If there are no other questions, I'll jump on to the next subject, which is Environmental Services Retreat. So on April 1st, we held our internal retreat, staff retreat, now that we are now one single department. So we thought it would be good really for us to get together and really put on the table what are some of the key elements that we're working on or some of the priorities that we hear from, not only from you, really from the council, from the public, in terms of really focusing our efforts on that. So we identified five, I would say, major areas that need to look at. So one of them, and those are very high level, one of them would be is what we call programs and services. So one of them is really looking at evaluating our brush and bulky program. We know we have just a traditional program. Some areas are heavier than others. Does it merit really the need for us to reroute? Those areas really come up with maybe more service areas. The other thing we heard from the public is they really don't want to be want to want to have brush and bulky services around Halloween, around Thanksgiving, and around the Christmas holiday. So if we are we have 26 service area, we service each area twice a year. That means we have 52 weeks really to take care of that within the calendar year. But if we take those 3 weeks out of the equation, how do we regroup ourselves really to continue to provide that twice a year brush and bulky service? But that would require some rerouting, some rearrangement. So that's something that we are kind of looking at. What is the feasibility? What is it that we need to be able to do that? And the function of that is not really adding more crews, adding more equipment. So it's certainly we have positions here that we just haven't been able to fill, and it's really not have enough bodies really coming into the door to be able to fill those positions. So if the answer is, well, we can ask the council for more positions, more equipment, but if we are not filling those positions the way we got them on the books today, we still have vacant positions. That is not really the real solution moving forward. So that's going to continue to be the ask. Obviously, we're not saying we don't need more staff, we don't need more equipment. The city's growing, the city's getting denser. So we need those. But if we can't get there, then what can we do internally really to make ends meet? And so the thought is, do we continue to evaluate and expand really the merits of really the on-demand brush and bulky program? And so That's something that we need to look at that. The other thing that we are looking, and again, it's not only intended really to improve the Brush and Bulky service, but also really create more diversion opportunities. So one of the things that we're looking is there a possibility? What is the feasibility? What are the resources that we need really to put in place? And what partners can we bring to the table, such as Tucson Clean and Beautiful, that could be a viable partner, that maybe we establish what we call a green waste collection program. And so one of the things we're suggesting or thinking about is, well, can we transition to brush and bulky on demand, still provide the two essentially services a year, you would just call in for that service. And then we would also provide the public the opportunity to call us during what we call the cleaning season or the growing season here in Tucson, that it would be anywhere between September 1st until April 1st. And again, it would be on demand, and we would be essentially just picking up green waste material. And so the intent is really, one, for diversion, and two, maybe possibly scaling back the amount of material that essentially is commingled when we pick up brush and bulky. The other cons, and again, that's those. Again, you would keep your on-demand twice a year brush and bulky pickups from the cycle between September 1st and April 1st. Residents will be able to call in two special on-demand green waste pickups. And again, the intent is to recoup green waste, which will be taken to Los Reales for mulching, processing, all that stuff. And so that will be the cycle for those twice a year brush pickup. The other thing we're looking is, what is the feasibility? And again, it's intended to increase diversion and recyclability of the metals. Is can we institute a on-demand what we call white goods collection program? So if you have a refrigerator, you have a stove, a washer that you need to essentially get rid of, you would call us in, we would go out there, schedule the pickup. And again, the intent is for us to divert essentially the metal, recycle those metals, and really try to reduce the amount of material that we would be collecting at the Brush and Bulky program. And again, the intent is to increase diversion, rather than the way it's done today, is we put everything in a single truck and it goes really to the landfill. And then as part of that is there any merits for us to provide each ratepayer that is a residential customer with the opportunity to give them a free dump day at the landfill once a month? So you have a city account, you have a city parcel, you're paying for water and refuse services. You have the ability you have a truck and you have the ability to load up your stuff. And if you're cleaning the house, then you go to the landfill and essentially you get a free dump day at the landfill once a month per account. Okay. So again, that's the intent, is really to reduce the amount of tonnages that we as a city are collecting. But obviously, there may be a small hit in terms of the revenue that we may be collecting, but there's also maybe some operational benefits on that. So all those things are essentially on the melting pot right now, with the idea, the intent is, with your support, with the council support, we can be really in a position really to put those programs forward for calendar year 26. So we're putting a lot of focus on that. And the primary driver on that is still having a difficult time getting folks in the door, retain some of the folks in the door. It is a difficult job. Not a whole lot of people can really sustain being out there 10 hours a day, picking up refuse and loading stuff from Brush and Bulky. And also we still are having a hard time really trying to get vehicles on board. So it's not so much the ordering of the vehicles, having the fiscal capacity to do that, but trying to get those vehicles on board. So we placed orders. So we still have, I think right now we're down to 22, 23 vehicles that are still on back order. And that's an order that we placed 2 years ago, two and a half years ago. So that still continues to hit us. And so that's why we're trying to work within our means, can't stay sitting and not do anything about it. So that's why those ideas may be off the wall, but it's really just trying to react to the situation that we have here today. So that's one of the key areas. The other one is recycling services. How do we continue to make some progress on reducing our contamination? Working obviously with Republic really to improve that. The NRCs continue to be a hot topic for us. One of the key components on that is that the Ward 6 Neighborhood Recycling Center, we're not going to be able to operate that for the long term. We need to leave that facility probably around the end of August or early August. So we need to find an alternate location for that Neighborhood Recycling Center. So the thought is maybe finding a parcel where we can really call it and really treat it as a drop-off center where it could be fenced off, where it can be possibly even be manned and essentially be a real drop-off center and not really look at it as an afterthought. So our goal is trying to identify, at least for that particular site, a site maybe along the Grant Road expansion widening project, somewhere between Grant and Alvernon, so that was not too far from the Ward 6 office and property that the city just recently acquiring as part of that expansion. So obviously we want to keep it as close as we can, really around the Ward 6 area, and really developing essentially that prototype of what that Neighborhood Recycling Center will look like. And that way we can propagate that either to the Ward 2 a location on the east side and also to the Ward 4 area and begin to replicate that. And so create that prototype out of the Ward 6 recycling area and really trying to look at that. The other one, continue to have discussions about a glass. In terms of we can continue to put it at drop-offs. Do we put it in the blue bin? I don't think put it in the blue bin is really continue to support that. That's not the best idea, not only from a cost perspective, but also from a reusability perspective. Does it really merit the possibility for us to provide that service at curbside? And so if you remember when we were talking about the zero waste roadmap, there was a lot of interest of creating the multi-stream recycling. And so that may be the venue that we may go or propose on glass and potentially for the HEF 3 new program as well. And the reason why we're recommending that approach is equipment, equipment and personnel. So if I can provide that service with a smaller truck and a truck that doesn't require a CDL driver, then that's a plus. And that's really what the spirit of intent of really trying to provide those services in a different way, but also at the same time, enhancing the proposed service, enhancing the services. So, and then also if folks really bring green waste to the landfill, how can we separate that and how can we compost that? And really formalizing the food cycle at home program. So really from a pilot really to a program. So Ms. Margaret, do you have a question?
So I just look like I have one. I have lots of questions. Back to the Institute, the white goods collection, would all of that metal just go to one of the scrap yards, or what, how would you see, you said you would be able to then remove it from the landfill?
So there's two thoughts of doing that. One of them would be is for us to capture those requests and really to hire a third party provider or contractor that would essentially be picking that up. And it would, and ultimately maybe one of those metal recyclers that can do that from a local business. And so we can capture that and really for them be to be the provider and thus eliminating us being the middleman on that end. So it's just creating the program and just having somebody else manage and provide that service. The other one would be is that we can do that internally with a smaller truck as well, collect those goods, bring those goods to the landfill. We do have a current agreement with a metal recycler, so it'll really just be a matter of us extending the volume that would be processed by them.
Okay. It's amazing to hear you say over and over again the problem to get employees, I suppose with the very low unemployment rate, that's one of the reasons with the kind of work that goes into a whole other discussion. Recycling moving Ward 6, there is a property on not Anderson, it's the next street over. That's a long rectangular street. It's on Calle Miramonte. It's across from where Whole Foods is and where they're redoing all that center. And that property has tried a number of times to go through development, and then it never seems to make it. It probably is expensive, but it's quite a large piece.
Okay.
It would be right off a of speedway. I think it's Calle Miramonte or Miramonte Road. It's not Calle at that point. It's Miramonte. Anyway, I think your idea of using something that you've already bought off of Grant, off of the Grant Road. I don't know if there's anything left over from Broadway. I suspect most of that free land or the extra land has already been spoken for.
Yeah, there's a lot of properties along Broadway as part of the widening, but I think those properties have now been reverted to Rio Nuevo, and I think that's trying to get those back. I think those are not off the table, but they're not as easy as really being within the city of Tucson. So we're going to give it a try, but we'll see how far we essentially can get on some of those properties.
Right, and most of the Broadway properties that were kept have small buildings on them, which you not want to destroy. Whereas the other ones along Grant, they wiped out big sections of them right up front, so they're big areas. The glass. I was a little confused by what you were saying. So my understanding right now, from what we heard, is the waste diversion was that the glass peep the people picking up the glass, I guess it's strategic materials, very happy with our separately collected glass because it's whole, it's not smashed, and it's cleaner than the stuff that they're picking up out of the MRF. So were you trying to say that you would separate, have a special container barrel, something or other, where you would put glass, but you would put it out at the curb and somebody would come along and just pick up the glass? Is that what you were trying to say?
Right. So essentially, just instead of having just a blue bin and a green bin, we would have a purple bin at a curbside. And so we would essentially, instead of you dropping it off at those drop-off centers, and if you are interested and you want to be part of the program, then we would give you a bin and then we'll swing by your property and pick it up. Right.
Okay.
So the idea behind that is because we're having to service those 21 drop-off sites, it ties up one or two front load containers, and those are the ones we're having a challenge in terms of staffing and providing the equipment. So if I can enhance the services by us picking at a curbside with a different vehicle and still keep the quality of the material good, that's what we're trying to, and really the offset on what it's costing us to pick up using a front load containers versus a smaller truck, it may be a wash. Okay, or it may be an investment, but it's not going to be a night and day investment to move that along. And so the idea, kind of the long-term idea is one, we can say that the city has multi-stream recycling. So you have not only your blue bin, but you also have your glass bin, and potentially maybe the hard to recycle plastics could be another component of that. So we have more programs that other cities may not have. And the quality of the product is there. And the reason why it makes sense for us is because we have a processor very nearby that uses the glass and really wants to continue to use the glass.
I would think just, and it's just my own observation from what happens in my household, is it would it be need to be a kind of one that's triggered? In other words, I would dial a number and say, time to pick it up or pick it up this round. Because I know, at holidays when there are lots of people around and we're drinking wine, the bottles mount up. And then I could go for 3 months with, one bottle or two bottles, an olive oil bottle and something else. So having it every other week would, for me, would not make economic sense. So I'm just putting that out there as to add to your
Absolutely.
thought about it as some sort of trigger.
Absolutely. And I think that's where we would need your help. I concur and I agree with you that that will be the best way to do that. That if it's on demand, you call us, we'll pick it up, we'll route it. It's going to be picked up on the other week that we don't pick up recycling, but you have to call us in so that we're not driving around town looking for those barrels, knowing that there's not that many of them. And so that's where the notion is that right now, one of the notions would be is if we do away with the drop-offs, people, residents have the ability to do it at any given time. And so they don't have to make contact with us, as compared to if they have to make contact with us really to provide that service, some folks seeing as a reduction in service. I see it the other way, is that it's more efficient, more effective, and it's really and we're tailoring essentially that service to that resident for the other week that we're not picking up recyclables. Okay, so that's what we would need your help in terms of efficiencies, why it makes sense, and the trigger point, because not every single resident in Tucson is going to participate into the program. And I think those are some of the things that as we move along, we have to, when we develop those programs, there's not the vast majority of the residents don't really participate in those programs. We want to offer those programs, but not everybody is interested or willing or able to participate in all the programs. And so we just want to make sure that we offer them and we provide them the most efficient way. But also the focus would be is not so much the quantity of residents, but the quality of the materials. And I think that's where I think we can improve quite a bit and what we're doing in terms of we are truly recovering the materials, not recovering trash that really should be going somewhere else.
Yeah, and I think this is a place really to look at using various kinds of electronic messaging. I don't know, even a button on the side of your container that you push and it sends out a signal, I'm full, you need to come and get me. I know that in some of the compactors, they do have those kinds of messaging systems so that, it's not beyond the pale that you could do something along this. It, to be efficient, it's definitely going to have to be on demand because, I mean, there are some houses where, they have six, 24 bottles of beer every other week or even more for a big party or something. So they would need it. But,
And I'm so happy to hear you say that because I think that's really the help and the input and the feedback that we need from you and be this our sounding board for those things as we move along. Because there's got to be a trigger point to provide those services. So.
and the green waste as well, which is we've talked about many times
Right, many
before.
times.
Who can use it and who can use it. Well, I think that's very exciting that you sat down and thought about those kinds of things and really started looking at what ways to really rethink some of this stuff. And the fact that it's pushed by personnel and trucks is absolutely fascinating to me. That's just a whole new
A twist.
twist to it. Yeah.
And then the other projects obviously continue to work on the Bifusion building. That's essentially we started the construction. They poured the foundation. They poured essentially. They're doing all the underground utilities. Next step is really to erect the metal building. So that continues to be work in progress. Still scheduled to be completed by October of this year. But it's probably not going to be in operation, fully in operation until February of next year. So we're still a year out. So again, what we have on the table, we got to make sure that we move along. The other project initiative is we need to get something moving. And either if it's not the final solution, in terms of executing a landfill gas to energy project for 20 years, we got to put an interim solution. And so so that's really one of the things that we're working on, is really trying to find that, whatever that interim solution is this year. We're working on the solicitation for the recycling services. So we need to have that out. Again, the goal is really to be able to have it at the end of the summer, have essentially the solicitation out for recycling services. Also, the other progress would be is, or the other strategic principle would be is, our cost of service study is scheduled to be completed by this fall. So we really need to make sure that we finalize that. And then ultimately, finally, is really focus on customer service. Is really, we still continue to receive a lot of complaints that it really takes residents a while really to report a missed pickup, and how really the solution center using Tucson Water, what the process is, and how long of wait times you have to wait in line in order really for us to get some response. We need to increase our responsiveness just like we had before, and really to be able to have more proactive communications with the residents. So one of our points is we're asking city manager is, can we revert back those positions back to environmental services? And so obviously they're the ones that made the decision really to move that forward. So we're trying to present to them is the business case associated with what our request is. One is really responsiveness to the customers, but second, it's really our line of business eight, nine years ago is totally different than what it is today. And the difference on that is really now we have at least three programs that I can describe that are different. One is the potential of brush, bulky, and demand. So it requires a lot of attention, requires a lot of communication. The HEF 3 new program requires a lot of attention. The home cycle at home requires a lot of attention. So we put in place a lot of other services that we didn't have before. And so we need to be able to have more staff to be able to be embedded with the department to be able to answer those questions. Because when we get those calls, we don't get them from the typical resident. We typically get them from somebody that is so in tune and so interested in either recycling, sustainability, and sometimes we don't give folks the right information or the right answer that a lot of times gets us in trouble. And so we just want to make sure that we have more of a focused approach and be more in contact with residents and our operation. So one of the things that's happening is if we miss picking your garbage service, then it's when we used to do it in the past, used to get a call, immediately we get on the radio, call the essentially that unit, where are you at? And then either came back or we sent somebody else really to pick it up. So we're missing that. And so we don't want to miss that. We want to make sure that we stay on board with that. So that's an example in really in preserving and enhancing really our responsiveness and our customer care. So that's where our ask is going to be moving forward. So that was the focus of the retreat. So it's like, it wasn't really goal setting. All the stuff is because policy direction has been given to us. Plan Tucson, Zero Waste Roadmap, the Tucson Resiliency Plan together, zero waste by 2050, 50% waste diversion, carbon neutrality. So all this stuff is in there. So all those things that we have in place is we got to get our house in order. And in order for us to get our house in order, then we got to take some interim steps so that we can get us get us to the promised land.
Can I just say, I'm glad you added that piece at the end, because one of the reasons for going to the glass pickup at the curb on demand, if you will, is the carbon footprint that it saves people from mm-hmm. driving up to that point. And I think anything mm-hmm. you can do, as the others are in progress and are gonna go past that area anyhow, you know, you're saving some of the car exhaust or truck exhaust or whatever is coming out of the end of the tailpipe to do that. I missed a little bit. By the end of the summer, it was between the landfill gas to move it along and to find an interim solution. And then you talked about the cost of service study. And in between that, there was something that you were
Is
going
the
to do.
recycling services the MRF recycling services contract? It's set to expire in 2027. So we need to solicit those services again. And so that's what we're working on. And so our goal is trying to get that out by the end of the summer, early fall.
So what you would get out, and I think maybe this is something we should put on the agenda for a bigger discussion, is what you're getting out is actually a request for proposal, or are you getting out a conceptual study of what it is we want? Because now you're adding all these individual streams that are coming out, which will be different than just continuing with the current MRF.
So I think it's probably continuing with the same, I would say, line of business that we have today, not really changing it significantly. We will put out on the solicitation request for proposals, the have to renew and the glass. I just don't think that those are going to be very viable options, or there's going to be a cost factor for that. So those will be optional for us to trigger if we move forward with that. So what do I mean? Is really we're going to give them the information about our typical recycler tonnages, the products that we recycle that we would like to continue to recycle. We're going to be looking at that, asking them is if we bring on board, we would like to bring on board and as part of your response is they have the renew program and the glass. But again, I just don't think the cost is going to be not going to work in our favor. And I think it's we need to be make sure that we have a good product at the end of the day. And I don't think there's anything out there that would really give us that. So I think the default is going to continue to provide those alternative programs separately. But again, I don't know that. I'm just making an assumption.
Sure.
And that's something that will be determined as part of the response.
Oh, okay. So you're going to let the companies respond to what the current situation is, as opposed to saying we would like to change it into this other way of looking at it.
Right.
Okay. Because we know that, for instance, we learned at the last meeting, and we're kind of jumping in, Trevor, on your report, is that one of the reasons that we improved so much in our contamination, in other words, the reduction, which was substantial, is because they put in a new line. And
right.
So they were able to stop so much. They were able to pick more things out. So the quote unquote contamination, which probably included still a lot of things that could be recycled, were actually being picked out. So the number got to be smaller than that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, are we going to try to factor into that, things like that, into the request for proposal? I mean,
That's all part of it, right. That's all part of it, right. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because the RFP, I mean, the current one is almost 20 years old. So, I mean, the technology has changed a lot then.
Right.
So, I mean, I guess what I'm saying is that I'm hopeful that maybe we don't need to talk about what it'll happen, but I suppose Republic would be a person there who would respond to that, simply improving what they have now, as opposed to building a whole new one.
Mm-hmm. So that's an option. Okay. So, and that's what we're leaving it, pretty much not open-ended, but with some guidelines that yes, potentially there are going to be parameters within that request for proposals that even the facility that we use today, I think is still may require some improvements in order for them to continue to operate or provide the service to the city. It can't be just a status quo. What is that? That's what we're working on those parameters. So at the end of the day is the next phase of recycling services needs to reflect what the current industry is doing as it relates to recycling services. Okay. And so that whether they do that at an existing facility whether they want to build another facility, then that at another location, well, that's an option. So the options that could be considered, at least for the time being, is, yeah, the current facility can say, the city will put out some parameters about recycling. This is what we're looking for. This is what we expect, materials, all the parameters of when we put out in more than that. Republican respond to that and said, yes, I may make those improvements to be able to meet those requirements. Okay. You may have a third company that says, I'm going to come in, I'm going to build my brand new facility at this location, and here's my price. Okay. The other alternative would be is, I'm a company Y, and one of the parameters we'll say is that the city will provide the land, city will essentially, and then the third party will come in and build a facility on city property. And at the end of the term, okay, then that building will be owned by the city. Okay. And so that way there's some recovery of that investment, knowing, because no matter where you skin the cat, the city still pays the capitalization cost of every processing ton. So again, those are the high level parameters that are put in place right now, not only in terms of the financial structure, but also the how the facility will need to perform.
Doug, you must have some thoughts about these things.
I could go on until Sunday, probably. It's everything Carlos said is spot on from what I'm seeing. Is, you know, Republic could do some changes to the facility. Somebody else could come in and say, no, we want to build our own. You know, in my opinion, if the city had it on their property, they would control it better. But until you put out the RFP exactly what you're looking for, it's, you know, there's a lot of what ifs.
Would we, as a part of this RFP, consider a dirty MRF, or are we really looking for something analogous to what we currently have?
So I think that the concept of a dirty MRF, I think we would explore that, I think, in the future, but it's not in the context of what a typical dirty MRF will look like. So if what I'm referring to that, and again, this is very, very hypothetical, okay? It would be that we, the city, collect roughly about 250 tons a year, okay? So if we say, you know what, let's pull aside 10% of that material, that's 25,000 tons a year, can we set up some sort of a conveyor where it goes through a conveyor, and then we have folks, whether technology or folks that essentially are sorting that material. We're possibly sorting that material. Then we essentially get the material and we transport that material really to another facility for processing. So we would be taking that material and sending it to the MRF, okay, for processing. And so the reason why we don't want to go into a MRF is because what we're hearing is really more of the quality of the product. So it's the dry material, less contamination. And so that's why we want to separate essentially those silos and say that the recycling bin, it's really the prime materials that should only go into that bin, your plastics, your cardboard, your aluminum, your tin cans. And because maybe in the next, I would say, 4 to 5 years, those commodities are going to be very, very valuable. And we want to be we're hoping to be on the other side of the tariffs that essentially a lot of people are talking about negative of the tariffs, where we could be in the positive side of the tariffs. And the reason being is aluminum is going to be a key commodity. Plastics is still going to be something that people are going to be looking for. So why? Because if those tariffs are, I know there's a lot of noise, we put them on, we put them off, but essentially still though, I think where we're heading is really trying to recover as many materials domestically and be able to recycle and process those. So that's why I think it's keeping the quality in the blue bin. It's really, really important. And then creating the dirty MRF, and we can start pulling organics. We can start pulling all the other materials and then start seeing, is that scalable And what is the investment of that diversion? What is the recovery of that diversion? And do we have the market for the materials that we can recover? Because at the end, we can see through that, we can separate stuff, and we can make, and the city can make the investment. But at the end of the day, who's going to be the end user of that material? And we just got to make sure that we identify that, and we identified from a cost, but also from a usability perspective, from an end market perspective.
Great.
I think by virtue of talking about all this stuff, I think I covered the next subject, which is the neighborhood recycling center. So I'm done, I think.
Any other questions for Carlos? Okay, great. Thank you so much, Carlos.
Thank you.
All right, we will move on to item number 4, which is our financial monthly report. So we'll hand it over to Maggie.
Hi, everyone. Share my screen. Okay. Oh, Brittany, the sharing is disabled.
Sorry, I will make you a co-host. Okay.
Okay. Okay. All right. Can you all see my?
Could you make it big?
How does this look to everyone? Too small?
Too small.
Okay, let me make it bigger. Okay.
That's better.
How's that? Is that good?
Mm-hmm. Better, yes.
Okay, good. Thank you. All right. So we're looking at data as of last week, and a couple updates to talk to you about today. I redid, since we met, I did a forecast for Q3, which actually increased the revenues that I thought we were going to collect by, to the tune of a little short of $2 million. Where finally, the last forecast that I had done was in November, and I didn't have a full year's worth of data to look at a full year's worth of the full amount of the rate increases that were phased over two fiscal years, January, a year ago January, and 2 years ago January. So now that I have that under our belt for residential, our residential collections is looking stronger. So is our landfill collections. And so I did increase our revenue forecast slightly. So that is reflected here. It was in the 74 million last time. Some changes to the expenditures. I didn't have any large changes to the forecast for the third quarter, looking at the numbers. The only item that we made an adjustment to was with regard to our capital outlay purchases. We've already, as of last week, we had received $6.4 million. We had $7 million budgeted. And, but it looks to me that will be, and after talking to Carlos and Pat, that will be hopefully around $13 million. We've met with the fleet administrator. She thinks that some of the items that have been on back order that Carlos talked to you about, we plan to receive quite a few of them. Well, not quite a few. The vehicles are so expensive that it would be a handful of them, but it costs a lot to bring them in-house. And then also, there have been some light-duty vehicles that the department was wanting to order, that there are available on the lot now that we have placed orders for. So that is reflected in this forecast here as well. So that is, those two items are the change, but you can see that if we do collect the 76 million and we spend the 72 million this year, then we'll end up in the positive, in the green, for contributing to our fund balance by approximately $4.2 million. So that's good news. Going over to the activities by program. Let me see, I'll make this a little bit bigger. We've spent nearly $46 million so far. We have the rest of April, May, and June to wrap up the year. We'll be around 72.2 million, I think, this year. And the biggest change year over year will be the our ability to bring in the vehicles that have been on order for so long. So that's really what the difference between last year and this year will be, a big jump there. And so nothing really to call out here in just the in the different program areas for you. And of course, now we have graffiti abatement to which is still under the environmental services. Code enforcement is now under planning and development services. Graffiti abatement, we have one contract there and one employee managing that contract. And so we may be a little bit over budget for graffiti abatement this year, just based on our monthly costs, but we'll see how that shakes out when we get to the end of the year. But that is my update for the month of April. Does anyone have any questions? No? Okay.
Thank you very much, Maggie. We appreciate it. Okay. And we'll move on to item number five, which is subcommittee reports. And we have waste diversion collections and education. Unless somebody else wants to give it, I'm more than happy to. So let's see, we met last Wednesday. We got a quick update on the landfill gas collection. We are in the process of evaluating the system and making some repairs while also expanding the system into cell 4A and drilling the holes necessary for that. We had also asked some questions about waste from certain high profile places like the Tucson Airport, Air National Guard, etc. Who handles their waste for Tucson Airport, Air National Guard, and Border Patrol. The city does not handle the waste for those folks. However, given the proximity of most of those locations to the landfill, unless they're being serviced by waste management, most of their waste is still probably ending up at the Los Reales landfill. The city of Tucson does service Davis-Montham Air Force Base. On collections, the brush and bulky by appointment is going well so far. Some good use in progress. We also got to see some before and after photos. We also heard some updates on equipment. We've also gotten quite a bit here this afternoon. We did get an update that the electric truck, the service truck that we just got, is already out of commission. The transmission went out. And we're waiting to find out what happened there and how to get that back out on the streets. On waste diversion, Margo gave that update. So we did see a continued decrease to 19.6% contamination rate due to the new plastic sorting system that Republic Services installed. And we're still continuing to send plastics 1, 2, and 5 up to the Las Vegas recycling facility. And then on public outreach, Christine and her team are quite active. We had a master recycler program start at the beginning of the month. We also had the zero waste collection event last weekend. We have a hazardous household waste collection event at the Ward 2 office this coming Saturday. And of course, it is April, so we also have Children's Museum Earth Day and Party for the Planet and a few other things here and there later on this month. And that was waste diversion. Margo or Doug or Fred, any additions there?
No, I think you covered them, and we did some of them stuff came up in the discussion with Carlos, so.
Okay. We'll move. That pretty much concludes our agenda. So we'll move on to item six, which is future agenda items. Margo, I heard that you wanted to follow up on re the recycling services solicitation.
Yes, I think we I'd like to understand a little bit more why we're leaving it such a wide open as opposed to discussing some more of it ourselves and putting some parameters on it. But maybe there's some good reasons for that I'm not aware of.
Any other future agenda items?
I think following up on these things that Carlos has brought up, which are really very, very interesting, very forward-looking, I guess, implementation. What's the next step? The other big one for me is the landfill gas. I just, what that interim solution is going to be. I mean, I just feel terrible that we've known about this problem for 7 years, 6 years was going to, TEP gave us a long lead time and when it was going to happen, and then we weren't prepared for when they stopped, and we just have. And we're flaring it, which is just such a waste when we have vehicles that are could use it. I brought it up at the Transit Task Force in their budget presentation about where was the money for using the CNG out of the landfill, and they, sort of waved their hands.
Okay. Anything else for future? All righty. Item number seven, call to the audience. Doesn't look like we have anyone in the audience. So we'll move to item eight, adjournment at 5:04 p.m.
Excellent.
All righty. Thank you all. Have a wonderful
Perfect.
evening. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Yep. Go on.